instead. Last week, we began his section on Mussar with an introduction, which also was short and incredible. And the basic point of last week's shiur, to remind you, is that the subject of Mussar, what's the focus? The person himself. And he compared, you know, the difference between halacha and Mussar to the difference, or to the parallel, you know, between a executive branch and a legislative branch. The Torah, the halacha, tells us the rules, the legislative branch, but to actually effectuate it, to actualize it, that you need the executive. And that's what Mussar is for. It's, I'll just read one line that we saw, individual lines that we saw last week, which were so memorable. He said, Kach halacha hi chok u'mishpara Torah hamlamedet otano ma lasot. Right, the Torah is the legislative branch that tells us what to do. Chachmas ha-Mussar hi Torah ha-Bitzua, how to actualize it. Ketzel l'kayim. Or the next sentence, which I love the most, b'merkaz ha-halacha omeid ha-mitzvah atzma. Right, what's at the central focus of halacha? The mitzvos. B'merkaz ha-Mussar, what's the central focus of Mussar? The person himself. Right? It's a very powerful way of thinking of things. So, this next paragraph, now if we start today, we're going to be able to only do half of the next chapter, because the next chapter is much bigger. But this is now the practicum. How does a person actually, quote-unquote, do Mussar? And it's a very, even the two-plus pages I want to get through today are quite involved, a lot of different sources and ideas. But basically, as we shall see after a bit of an introduction, it comes down to one central insight, which I'm really thrilled to share with you. First of all, because I really, really believe it's true, and because being self-aware of my own negios, a number of years ago when I was asked by my students, like, what is Mussar? Bar Shekivanti, this was the answer that I gave them. So, Bar Shekivanti, but you'll see what I mean in a minute. Let's take a look if you have the PDF, or if you have a Sefer, or Perek Shneimasar, and this is in Shar Sheni, in my volume, page 88, Pechet. He begins with a citation from the Rambam, in the Rambam's introduction to his commentary on Perkei Avos, known as Shmona Prakim. We'll just read the first sentence or so. Ha'adam ha'shalem, right? What is the ideal person, the perfect person? Sorry, what we're all aiming for, right? It's a never-ending quest. It's one big infinity pool. We never get to the end. But that's what we're going for. Tzarech lo sheyizkor midosav tamid v'yishkol pu'uloso. So first the Rambam says is it's just a key ingredient. A person has to always be thinking about himself, his characteristics, and he has to constantly be weighing or judging or evaluating, I guess is the better word, his actions. V'yivchon tchunos nafsho yom yom. And he should be, again, evaluating, if you will, even judging, deciding what is the quote-unquote appropriateness or inappropriateness thereof, of his actions on a daily basis. Okay, he goes on from that to point out, just like your doctor would say, even on when you go for the annual checkup, right, it seems like it's nothing. But because they have the consistent data points, then all of a sudden you have a slight spike in your blood pressure or your cholesterol, they notice it, because they have a baseline. That's the key doctor's word. You have a baseline. So the Rambam basically makes that point on a daily basis, right? The more you're, if you do a cheshbon on nefesh each day, so then you'll notice when all of a sudden maybe, you know, you used to be in good balance between, you know, anger and being, you know, docile. And then you just veered off a bit. You'll notice it if you're thinking about it on a daily basis before the problem gets too big. Okay, fine. Next paragraph. That's the Rambam's point. But what Revolbi loves this. What does this light up Revolbi? He says, because the key is, you see here now is Revolbi's comments, next paragraph. Yesod ha-chinuch ha-musari. What's the key to Mussar? Eino b'shmi'as sichos u'kriyas mamarim. It's not by reading books. That's not the key. It's not by going to shurim and hearing speeches. But rather, the key to everything is kviyas yom yomit. Daily work. Hamyuedet livchon, quoting the Rambam, tchunas nafsho yom yom. The key to Mussar, everything else are frills. They're bells and whistles, they can help. But the essence of Mussar is, day by day, having a daily regimen of, quoting the Rambam, thinking about evaluating a person's actions and characteristics on a daily basis. Adelibun Mussar b'ritzifut, you have to be consistent. Iyun, chazara tamidit, thinking about things, reviewing things, just like we would say about learning Torah. You got to do the daf, you need a daily Mussar quotient. Kol sham adabrim, kosvim, matifim, behogim, mushay Mussar, everything that people say, they write, they preach, in the name of Mussar, at best, einu el haparparot, l'nekudah hamerkazot. At best, those are the hors d'oeuvres, the forspice for the main point. The main point, the main course is hachiyuv lahaktish yom yom zman liban Mussar b'cheshbon nefesh. So number one, he lays down that you're not going to get anything done without consistency. And again, this could lahavdil be said about dieting, could be about exercise, Right? And the fact that it's true in other areas of life is just the greatest proof that, of course, it's true. Right, right. Give. Thank you, Rabbi Klammer. Great point. Parshas Pinchas. We have the Karban Tamid, day in, day out. Consistency. Right? That is the key. Okay? Skip down. Next paragraph. Mihin Esayona Yedua. From our experience, we know, HaKaveh Zaman Limud Musar Yom Yom, a person does this even a little bit every day, Mishtanehu Letova. You improve. But here's the key point, and this is, I think, why this is parallel to the other things, and we know it from experience. If you learn Musar every day, you will improve. Mibalish Yargish Bekach. Even though on a day-to-day basis, you don't actually notice it. You don't realize the improvements happening in your behaviors, B'hitnaguto, B'zihiruto, B'shiyufot L'dargot, right? You look back a month later, 2 months later, and all of a sudden you're in a different place. You didn't notice the day-to-day growth. But eventually you have the compound interest of a little bit, and you grow. And he points out, of course, and this we know, again, I guess I'm reflecting my age and or personal status, that my mind keeps on going to exercise and weight loss. I'm trying to do one and not being successful with the other, but be that as it may. Thank you, Michael. Yes. Yeah, because they knew I didn't have enough nisyonot. Anyway, so says Rav Volbi, what is the most difficult thing about this daily regimen, right? Everyone wants, you know, the big, you know, people would be willing to do something extreme and difficult if they thought in one dramatic fell swoop it would help them, right? Well, the daily stuff, paradoxically, right, is not nearly as hard. In day to day, it's not as hard. Whether it's the exercise, whatever, in any area, right? Again, finish shas, learn a daf a day, right? It's the day-to-day stuff is actually very small and easy. But so what makes it so difficult? So he points out what we all know from experience. Next line, next paragraph. Since we don't get the high, the endorphin rush, the excitement of a huge accomplishment at any one point, we tend to be oblivious to the growth, and then we give up at some point. And he says, if that's true about the other things that we're talking about, it is certainly true about Musar. And he points out in the paragraph right below, which is a quote, that this is something that was recognized from literally the first days of the Musar movement, because he quotes a letter of Rav Yisrael Salanter in the next paragraph, where Rav Yisrael Salanter is aware of this exact challenge. Let's read a little bit of the quote from Rav Yisrael Salanter's letter. Al yipol lev ha'adam lomdo musar ve'neno mitpael. Right, a person should not give up, should not be depressed when they're learning Musar and they don't see it helping, they don't see any changes happening. Vein Rosha Manafsho, you don't notice any difference in yourself, Lashanot Darko, practically or otherwise. Why? Because you have to realize the truth. Yodea Ne'amana, Im Ki Lo Yigale, Le'ene Basar HaRoshem, even though maybe you, in a more tangible way, don't see the difference, the changes, the growth, Ene HaSeichel Ro'os, but in some more abstract way, ultimately you know the truth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the truth, it's really things are happening beneath the surface. And as a result, Barabos Itim, over time, Baribo Halimud, Bit Kapsod HaRishimot HaNe'elmot, the various little mini impacts that you actually were having that you didn't even realize, they gather together, they compound, they join together, L'Adam Acher Yapech, and you become a completely different person. And as he points out, HaNiseyon Yaid B'Hashkaf HaKal, right? We all know it from experiences. And I would add, which he didn't, we know from experiences in both directions. Not only because hopefully we've had some good experiences, but we definitely know this from the bad experiences. Right? People don't usually decide in some fell swoop to completely give up on something that's really important to them or to completely go in a very, very bad and negative direction. Right? It doesn't start that way. It starts with a nibble. Right? You're on the diet and then you had one Oreo or one cookie. Right? And then, you know, then over time, eventually you're like, this isn't working, I'm just going to... So it's also true, the negative, but it's also true, more importantly for our purposes, we're thinking positively today, on that is how we grow. Next paragraph. As a result, he says, so says Rav Volbi, writing in the 20th century, if this is true way back when Rav Yisrael Salanter wrote this, Ein kol sibah ba'olam lachshov ki pag kocho v'tamo sho limud zeh kayom. Says there's no reason to think that what made sense 200 years ago is not true anymore. Derech yila yoter l'shmirah al tzur ha'adam v'kiyum ha'mitzvos, ein. Adraba, ima tukufa merubat bayot, kiflayim l'toshiyo b'limud ha'mosar. He says, on the contrary, and he's writing a few decades ago, not only does it still work, but the greater the societal problems, the greater the breakdown, the greater the challenges, The more important it is that we need something to hold on to on a daily, consistent basis. Now, of course, we all, will all add, laconically, if that was what Rav Olbier would write in the 70s or the 80s, so I could only imagine if he knew the kind of craziness that we're dealing with in our current environment. And therefore, in order, you need a lifeline. The lifeline is the small but daily and consistent battles and learning of Musar. Now here comes, now with all of that, I would call that the introduction. The main purpose, what I think the most important part of the chapter, is what we're going to do from now and through the next page. And that is the following. So how does one do this? So says Rav Olbier, he gives us a little bit of a dose of painful medicine. He says, Lo kol adam mechunan b'koach mashava yotzaret o b'koach hitlahatut hergesh. Which basically can be translated as, something that maybe your mother never told you, but you may not be that talented. You may not be that smart. Not everybody is so brilliant intellectually. Not everyone has such incredible emotional intelligence or passions such that just through the sheer force of their talent or their brilliance, they could diagnose a mistake, a problem, and then completely change it like that. Local, some people, but not most people. Koach yotzer, but what does everybody have? This you do have is something just as powerful, but not as appreciated. Koach yotzer shu nachalat kol echad ve'echad. You know what everybody has? Hitbonenut. Self-reflection. The ability to think about oneself. To self-reflect. Ein lecha adam shlo yuchal lahagia lehitraskut mitoch menuchat ha'nefesh matzava ha'nafshi b'mahalch ma'asav u'magamat chayav. You have to learn how to do it in the sense that you need a little, as he points out, you need the right environment, you need to be calm, you need to be in the right mindset. But if a person can put themselves in that environment and pause for a little bit and think and self-reflect, there's no one who is not quote-unquote talented or smart enough to do that. Hid bonanut kazot, yesh b'mishom yitzira mamish, ha'adam atzmo mechadesh al yada. And what people do not realize, says Rav Olbier, is this seems to be such a small thing because it's not even outside of me. It's just me thinking about myself. He said it is the most creative power that a person has. You can completely change yourself. You can recreate yourself, not by having some brilliant insight or by being this cauldron of boiling passions who, gets all excited about something and manic about it and does some heroic thing and can do whatever the proverbial, lifting the car, if you will, in your life, if you will. But rather, by, I guess you might call it meditation, or again, it doesn't have to be in the sense of a mantra meditation, but the ability to self-reflect. And this is what I was referring to in the introduction when I said Brosh HaKivanti a number of years ago, and I was talking to some Talmidim, and I was encouraging them to learn Musar. And in a lot of circles, I have family members like this also, Musar is a very scary word, because they associate it with doom and gloom, and fire and brimstone, and burn baby burn, and all this stuff. And I said, it could be part of Musar, often an unhealthy kind, and maybe theoretically even a healthy kind, but that's not really what Musar is. Baruch HaKivanti, I said to them that night, I still remember where I was and who I was talking to. I said, in my mind, I said, Musar means to be self-reflective, to think about oneself and see how I can grow. So, I didn't use this Hebrew word, but this is what I was trying to say, Baruch HaKivanti. This is what Rav Olbier says. Yeah.
He says elsewhere, a lot of people have trouble doing that.
Yes.
So he greatly advocates Vadim and getting help.
Yes, I don't know if we'll get... Maybe we'll get to that in the next week. I'm not sure. That goes back to Israel Salanter and other things, yeah. Right? They had techniques, right? So right now he's going to talk about the rest of today, we'll talk about the importance of it. I don't think we're going to get to the techniques, if I remember correctly, not today. Anyway, so now he says the following. Let's continue to the next page. He points out, we're going to skip, we're not going to be able to do all of this because of the time, but he gives a number of sources, earlier sources, that emphasize this point. We'll try to pick out key lines in all of them. We're on the next page. So he starts off with something from the Sforno. Right, the Sforno is, of course, the well-known commentary on the Torah. I admit, until I saw this last night, I had forgotten, or maybe I don't know if I ever knew, that the Sforno has a small compendium essay to his Perush al HaTorah called Kavanas HaTorah, where he gives certain principles of exegesis, or what he thinks are the important things of life. I had to look that up. I admit, I did not know. I'm not enough of a bucky. But in that essay, which I've never seen in full, so Rav Olbier quotes at the Sforno, Rav Avadya Sforno, so he says, he has a line there where he basically points out that if you want to make your more abstract kind of, or even passive intellect into something that has strength and that is active, says the only way you can do that, end of the second line, Sheyikneb hit the bone in the toe. Atzmot sechli nimtza b'foal v'yichya ol l'netzach l'fi tivo. And that's the key word we were looking for. It's through self-reflection, by hitboninut, you take the things that may be dormant or that you have inside of you and you can give them strength. Or, if you look towards the bottom of the paragraph, this is Rav Olbi's paraphrase, he says, yesh l'hamik b'dvar neflaza. What is the Sforno telling us? Haseichel, your intellect, me tivo hu rak koach adam. By its nature, the intellect, for all the brilliance that you may have, intellectually, all the knowledge you have, that's all only in potential. Ketzad yotza haseichel el hapol. How do you actualize the benefits of all the things that you know? Hayinshu adam yeb atzmo sechli. How do you become not just somebody who has knowledge, but a knowledgeable person, meaning you live with that knowledge, you do things based on it? Davar niskav. That incredible accomplishment, that bridge between the theoretical and the practical, the potential and the actual, limit monenbo. You have to think, that just all that's that one thing. Self-awareness, self-reflection, has the ability to make that transformation. He makes a similar point in the next paragraph from one of the ancient Targumim, one of the Aramaic translations, the Targum HaYerushalmi, in the end of Parshas Kisavo in Dvarim, where also, we'll skip down a few lines, he see that this, even though the word mitponein is not in the Chumash, I can promise you, but in that context, the Targum Yerushalmi inserts the word, the mitbanun. And basically the point is, as Rav Olbi summarizes in the last sentence there, that the purpose of the Torah, lahafoch et ha'adam, to transform a person, from kind of someone who does impulsive actions, bahul hatnuot, often you act in a confused or impulsive manner, liot kulo mitbonein, to become a reflective, thoughtful person. And then perhaps the key that he wants to lay down for this, and this is really, I think, a very powerful, is a citation from the Ramchal, from Moshe Chaim Lutzato. Not in the Mesilat Yesharim, we'll get to that at the end of the page, please God, but here is from a different sefer, a little bit less well known, called the Derech Eitz Chaim. And there, in the first paragraph there, he quotes two paragraphs from Ramchal. In the first paragraph, he says that there is a parallel between Seichel HaAdam, man's intellectual ability, and the Torah itself. It says the Torah, second line, HaTorah or, we know the Torah is comparable to light, or mamish. V'lo chachma bilvad. So the Ramchal builds a kind of typology. There's something called chachma, which sounds important, right? But it's less than what Torah is. Because Torah is not just chachma, Torah is light, or. And we know that Torah is also compared, if you will, to a fire. So what is the point? So he says here, this is a very, very down-to-earth metaphor and mashal. It's easy, I think, to remember, and I think it's very powerful and effective. He says, all of the Torah, all the things that we know in and of themselves, is just like a gachelet. It's just like a coal. Right? Remember before they had gas barbecues, right? You actually had to put in those coals. So, gachelet asher b'hiniach otam kasher heim. If you just leave them, you don't do anything to fan the flames, lo yiruk im gachalim v'gam kimat amumim. Nothing is going to happen, and eventually they'll dull. Mishi yishtada la'asek b'am, but if you are working the fire, working the coals, us titlahev, eventually they will ignite. You'll have a delicious steak, great hamburger. Ukineged seichel adam asuyim came. It's the same thing when it comes to a person's seichel. Ki gam yesh lo koach hasagah rabah. Yes, a person has great knowledge, great abilities to comprehend and to analyze, etc. Ach kasher yitlahet b'koach hitbanut. But that only happens when you light your seichel on fire. How do you take your natural ability, your natural seichel? There's a very pro-intellectual piece. The whole piece by Rav Olbi and by the Ramchal, which I think is important, because we're living in a very anti-intellectual moment, especially in the Frum community, I would say. There's this, you know, not just appreciation for the emotion, but I think not to get distracted, I don't know, it's not the point of today's year, but I think we've veered in many cases way too much to the extreme of a valorization of emotion over intellect, which is literally the opposite of, you know, the cardinal principles of Musar, of self-control, of self-awareness, self-reflection, which all are functions of a person's intellect, not just emotion or instinct. Be that as it may, I'll take my win where I can get it. Rav Olbi here is making that point, and now it's quote here from the Ramchal, that the seichel is the key, but the seichel has to be lit on fire. How do you light the fire of the seichel? Mitbonein. You have to think. It's not enough just to have the information in your head. You have to be self-reflective enough to, right? And by the way, again, I know this, I'm trying to make this as down to earth, as prosaic as possible, because I find this to be very, very resonant. Maybe I'm being too abstract, but I think even in other areas of life, very often, you know, there's that, again, as you get older, this happens even more, right? There's that information, you know, it's somewhere hidden in your brain. It's in your head somewhere. But you can't remember it, you can't place it, you can't, right? But if you just would stop for a moment, you know, a little quiet, all of a sudden, you didn't learn new things as much as you know, you remembered where they were in the file drawer, you know, where they were up there, and eventually you take them out, right? That wouldn't happen without the pause and the self-reflection, the self-awareness, the mitbonein. Now, let's just see if we can do two more paragraphs. So he quotes here from, one last thing from the Ramchal himself. Why is it, he says, that the seichel only remains in potential, if you will, and it's only if you then add the extra thing, which is the mitbonenut, the self-reflection, the self-awareness, that is what actually makes it the engine go. Why isn't it just automatic? So he says very simple. He says, to sin is the most counterintuitive, self-destructive thing you can do. So why do we ever sin? Not just because we want to. A lot of times we want to do things and we know that it's wrong for us, so we don't do them. Why do we actually sin? Again, sin can be with a capital S, or it could be cheating with an extra piece of dessert. All the things that we do that we know hurt us. Because in those moments, we stop thinking. But says Rav Volpe, if the things that we know were right were constantly on fire in bright neon lights on our brain, we would never sin. Now you might say, oh, that sounds great. Says the Ramchal, but that's not the point of life. And for those of you who are familiar broadly with the Ramchal's thought, this is like classic. Maseilas Yesharim, Derech Hashem, Ramchal. Right, that the world was created in order to eventually, hopefully, potentially, reward us and benefit us. But we don't deserve reward. We don't deserve Hashem's love or appreciation if we didn't earn it. If we were robots who had no choice but to do the right thing, why would we deserve to be rewarded? So says the Ramchal, that's why we had to have some gap between what we know is right and actually being able to live that. Now we have the ability to bridge the gap. But it needs to be bridged. If it was automatic, if it was seamless, then we would never sin. That in your lowest points, you might have taken that. But in the big scheme of things, you wouldn't want a life in which there was no failure, because if there was no failure, there would be no accomplishment. Right? If there was no capacity to fail, then what would be the impressiveness of succeeding? Nothing. So says Rav Volpe, that's why you need to have this, so to speak, gap. Hashem wanted us to have a yetzer hara, so that maybe we would fail. So that hopefully when we are successful, we'll deserve reward. That's why, yesh behem yediya ach segura gigachelet. He says, but that's why, even though we all know the right thing, but it's just like a coal. It's just like a piece of charcoal. It has the ability to make something beautiful and delicious for us, to get us doing the right thing, but only if we fan that flame, only if we ignite it. And how do we ignite it? By actually thinking about and contemplating the things that we all know to be true. Okay, let's just wrap up at the bottom of the page. So with all of that said and done, we return to Rav Volpe himself. And here's how he summarizes the point. I think this is really very, very something that can be very lasting and impactful if we think about it. Hari ha-hechrich lehitbonenut hu me'ikri ha-yitzira. Says Rav Volpe, you see, we've like expanded the significance of this. Now, it's not just that hitbonenut, self-reflection, is important for Musar. It's one of the conditions of, it's one of the foundations of the whole creation of the world. He says, we now know, our seichel knows most of the time what the right thing to do is. But it's only through this ability of self-reflection, or what he calls hitbonenut, that we can actually ignite, if you will, actualize, activate our seichel in order for us to do the right thing and, so to speak, defeat our yetzer. And therefore, he says in the last sentence, "Ha'avchana bein or ubein chachma, hi ki ha'or hi idea mevatel ra'yetzer, ha'chachma hi idea she'im b'koch levatel yitzarim." Yes, knowledge, whether it's of Torah or of life or other morals or other good things, but knowledge itself is wisdom. Wisdom is nothing to be sneezed at, but it's not enough. We need to turn that into this ability to really enlighten our life, and that requires one thing, but one thing only: limit bo name. And with this, I want to conclude one last point. You'll indulge me, this is the last paragraph right here. And that is, Umizeh Navin Divrei Mesos Hasharim Bakdama. And this is also something I speak about a lot in the drushas on Shabbos, especially when I'm talking about the Parsha. And that is, that very often I make this point in a drusha, that the more familiar we are with a story, the less we appreciate it's invaluable lessons and brilliance because we take the story for granted, especially because that's how we learned it in kindergarten. Right? So we don't realize some of the gems, right? Dafka, the more well-known stories are often the ones that we overlook and don't appreciate. So he points out, not about Chumash per se, but the Masilas Sharim, for those who are familiar, the opening of the Masilas Sharim is very famous for pointing out that paradoxically, the things that are the most well-known are the least appreciated. And that's why he says in his book, very humbly, I'm not here to mechadish anything, I'm just going to remind you of all the things you really know. Because even though you really know them, we don't appreciate them. That's what Masilas Sharim. But says Rav Volpe, now, in light of what we've just said today, now we understand it. Why is it? It's a weird thing. Why is it that the things that are hiding in plain sight, the things that are the most well-known, are the things that aren't appreciated? It should be the opposite. The more well-known, the more it should be appreciated. So he says, now we understand beautifully. Because the more you know something, the more you take it for granted, what are you less likely to do? Mitbonein, to think about it. You don't need to think about it, because I know it. But that's the point. Yes, you do know it. But knowing is not enough. Who was it? G.I. Joe said knowing is half the battle?
Yeah.
Okay, so it is half the battle. Shkayach. But you don't want to get halfway across the Grand Canyon and then you run out of road. Knowing is half the battle. But that's all it is. So if it's more well, if you know it just because you learned it, or you know it because you always know it, because everybody knows it, that's fine. But that only got you halfway. Without the ability to reflect on something, then it is hidden, as he points out. And so Rav Volpe paraphrases, Hine yidiot mefor samot ilo, the more well-known things, davka, ki midas persuman chaserit boner ben, because they're so well-known, we davka don't think about them, so we take them for granted. L'chein einon od begeror, therefore they stay in chachma, but they don't get ignited and turn into a light that can really impact us. Ha'ashpa einon noedet lehen od, v'ashikacha rabba, and then eventually you just, they become dormant to us. So,